Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the book of Deuteronomy, so the fifth book of the Bible, and find chapter 13. We will be reading chapters 13 through 15, taking some devotional pauses, thinking of some application at the end, and then closing in prayer. And I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this book of Deuteronomy. And in this law, Father, help us to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 13. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or a wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, "Let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them," you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. That prophet or dreamer tried to turn you from the way the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. If your very own brother or your son or daughter or the wife you love or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, "Let us go and worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known, gods of the peoples around you, whether near or far, from one end of the land to the other," do not yield to them or listen to them. Show them no pity. Do not spare them or shield them. You must certainly put them to death. Your hand must be the first in putting them to death, and then the hands of all the people. Stone them to death because they tried to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Then all Israel will hear and be afraid, and no one among you will do such an evil thing again. Wow. So even so strong God here in the law in terms of who you should listen to and who you should banish, and including this idea of within the own family, if they try to turn you against the regular, true, only God to other gods, they were to be put to death. That was capital punishment for that in that day. Amazing. Verse 12. If you hear it said about one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you to live in, that troublemakers have arisen among you and have led the people of their town astray, saying, "Let us go and worship other gods, gods you have not known," then you must inquire, probe, and investigate it thoroughly. And if it's true and has been proved that this detestable thing has been done among you, you must certainly put to the sword all who live in that town. You must destroy it completely, both its people and its livestock. You are to gather all the plunder of the town into the middle of the public square and completely burn the town and its plunder as a whole burnt offering to the Lord your God. That town is to remain a ruin forever, never to be rebuilt, and none of the condemned things are to be found in your hands. Then the Lord will turn from his fierce anger, will show you mercy, and will have compassion on you. He will increase your numbers, as he promised an oath to your ancestors, because you obey the Lord your God by giving all his commands, and that I'm giving you today, and doing what is right in his eyes. How serious was God about worshiping him alone? Pretty serious. Life and death circumstances in those days. Chapter 14. You are the children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave the front of your heads for the dead, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. Do not eat any detestable thing. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. You may eat of any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. However, of those that chew the cud or that have a divided hoof, you may not eat the camel, the rabbit, or the hyrax. Although they chew the cud, they do not have a divided hoof. They are ceremonially unclean for you. The pig is also unclean. Although it is a divided hoof, it does not chew the cud. You are not to eat their meat or touch their carcasses. Of all the creatures living in the water, you may eat any that has fins and scales. But anything that does not have fins and scales, you may not eat, for you it is unclean. You may eat any clean bird, but these you may not eat: the eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, the black kite, any kind of falcon, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the gull, any kind of hawk, the little owl, the great owl, the white owl, the desert owl, the osprey, the cormorant, the stork, any kind of heron, the hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects are unclean to eat. Do not eat them. But any winged creature that is clean you may eat. Do not eat anything you find already dead. You may give it to the foreigner residing in any of your towns, and they may eat it. Or you may sell it to any other foreigner, but you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. All right. All those ceremonial laws about food, it's hard for us to understand those today. Those particular laws are not passed on to us today. But we learn something about God in how he viewed the holiness of his people in that day. Verse 22, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. But if that place is too distant, and you've been blessed by the Lord your God and cannot carry your tithe because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away, then exchange your tithe for silver and take the silver with you and go to the place the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. And do not neglect the Levites living in your towns, for they have no allotment or inheritance of their own. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. So, the tithes. Now, later in Jesus' day, the religious leaders used this to their own advantage because they would bring money, they couldn't bring their animals, and then they would have them, they would charge them even more. Chapter 15. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people, because the Lord's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your fellow Israelites owe you. However, there need be no poor people among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you, if only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I'm giving you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do not withhold a grudging heart, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. So God sets up even this idea of canceling debts. And it's a pretty in-depth system. There's all kinds of things that went into that. But certainly there's some principles here for us and taking care of the poor around us as well. In that day, they especially were to take care of those who were among their own people first. Verse 12, if any of your people, Hebrew men and women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let them go free. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Give to them as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. But if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you, because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, then take an awl and push it through the earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life. Do the same for your female servant. Do not consider it a hardship to set your servant free, because their service to you these 6 years has been worth twice as much as that of a hired hand. And the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. So God also set out parameters for their servants, for the slaves that they had in that day, for setting them free, for also giving them an opportunity to stay for the rest of their lives that they wanted to. Do not consider it a hardship to set your servant free. Okay, already read that. We're in verse 19. Set apart for the Lord your God every firstborn male of your herds and flocks. Do not put the firstborn of your cows to work, and do not shear the firstborn of your sheep. Each year, you and your family are to eat them in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose. If an animal has a defect, is lame or blind, has any serious flaw, you must not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. You are to eat it in your own towns. Both the ceremonially unclean and the clean may eat it as if it were gazelle or deer. But you must not eat the blood, pour it out on the ground like water. That's the end of Deuteronomy 15, and that's the end of our reading for today. So what in the world do we do with all of these ceremonial laws, many of which are no longer applicable to us specifically? Well, what I look for here in the law is, what do we learn about God, and what are the principles that still can be applied? The first thing that sticks out to me in terms of God is he's a holy God and still is a holy God. Now, he may have handled things differently in that day. There was a lot of people that just automatically died and were to be put to death, whereas he doesn't ask for that today. The government has the ability to do that, but this was a time where God said, this is how I am going to display my holiness among you now, and how you're going to be wholeheartedly dedicated to me in all of these little details. The other thing that that sticks out to me is how we are to treat other people. Those principles still apply, and certainly they're carried on into the New Testament. The idea of canceling debts, the idea of treating people the right way, the idea of leading people to the one and only true God, that is all still here as well. So for me, my particular application, I think, is just to consider, okay, what does the wholehearted commitment to God look like today? Because we don't use capital punishment when people don't follow. So what do we, how can we still treat it as serious for ourselves and our family and our churches? That's what I want to contemplate. That's what I want to meditate on today. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for who you were and who you are today. I do thank you, Father, that some of the rules and regulations and some of the consequences you do not still put on us, and yet they're still very important. In fact, they're eternally important when it comes to a belief in you and following your Son. So help me, Father, to contemplate what that looks like for me today, how to lead my family in that, and how to lead our church in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.